little rusty, but we're back. 11 personnel presented by Monticello Bank. I'm Nick Roush, joined by Adam Luckett, who's at the KS office in Lexington, where it's been an eventful week there. There's been a lot happening. Last I was there, there might have been a little leak in the ceiling, Luckett, so hopefully it isn't completely washed out. Hopefully you stay dry.
Is that your patchwork job up there, Nick Roush?
It's a little rusty, but you know it'll work. How we doing? How we been?
I'm doing pretty good, I have to say. Had a kid, obviously, so that's why we haven't podcasted in a little bit. And then we had some basketball, a lot of basketball stuff, and so. But good to be back here with the good football people. I'm in 11 personnel nation, so excited to get back with you, Nick, and talk to football. I know you probably haven't been talking much football on your radio program every morning, so I think this will be a distraction for some people, for at least for now, in a good way. We'll see if, you know, not everything's going to go great, I think, over the next few months, but football is going on, and it's a nice distraction, I think, for people right now. And, Nick, an alternate universe, man, we almost had two coaching searches to cover within a three-month period. Like, Mark Stoops almost left. John Calipari almost departed, or at least at one time it looked like he might leave or might be asked to leave. Interesting. If a couple of things bounce the other way, you don't talk about head on a swivel summer and offseason.
Yeah, and each one, you had like a 24-hour-ish or so period where you thought, oh, this is happening. This is, wow. Things got a little weird. Glad to hear the family's doing well. I'm sure it's an exciting time at the Luckett house. I'm sure you're probably happy to be out of the house there for a little while. So
I am, but I don't think my wife's happy that I'm out of the house right now. So I'm enjoying this little normal, get to go to the office. Don't have to do this much in our line of work, but get to go to the office today, which is nice.
Well, it is going to be nice. Let's cut through the crap and let's get to what's happening for Kentucky Spring Football right now. But first, I do need to remind you that our presenting sponsor is Monticello Bank. It's where people matter. They've been in business for 128 years because they put people first. They put the numbers on your side to get you the best rates available. No matter what your banking needs, they get you covered with 21 branches in 14 counties across the Commonwealth. You can visit one of them in person, help them finance your future, or visit them at nbcbank.com. And don't remember, too, when you're part of Monticello Bank, you can bank wherever with the Go NBC mobile app with Monticello Bank. Remember, equal housing lender, member FDIC. Man, we are a little rusty. We're having technical issues. It's been too long. But part of that way, there is a lot of ball to talk about. Lot of good, and like I think we just kind of split it up. We just put offense, defense to kind of just make things global here. And you never want to get too far ahead of your skis when it's five practices in, right? And two of those were helmets only. But the early returns on the Bush Hamden offense are positive, and the whole talk of tempo and everything, like I truly believe it isn't just lip service, like Tubby Smith talking about how we're going to get up and down the court every year, right? Like Kentucky fans, it's kind of like we're going to throw with the tight ends this year, the receiver. We do this to ourselves. We get excited and then we get let down. But I truly believe that this offense is going to operate significantly faster for two reasons. One, they're training like it. Eli Cox said, yeah, like in the weight room, they've cut down on our rest time in between reps to simulate a no huddle offense. Like that's how, if we want to play fast, we've got to be prepared to go fast. So they're starting in March to be ready to be able to do that in September. And then most importantly, I think they were going to go fast no matter what, no matter who was calling the plays. Cause A, you can't go slower, but B, the early returns on the new helmet technology are universally praised across college football, especially at Kentucky, where trying to get plays in was a problem, and now that just hasn't been an issue at all. So I like the overall general big picture direction this offense is moving in the first 2 weeks into practice.
Yeah, I think with the offense, just in general, I think we need to remember they're not going to be
Tennessee.
A tempo offense, right?
Yeah,
they're not even the tier below that, or the two tiers below that. That's just not where they're going to be. I think what you want is just a smoother play calling operation, be able to get play calls in and out, where you're not running against the clock when you're trying to run pre-snap motion and all that. And from that aspect, they're going to get better at that. Just from, I think, structure, the pre-snap structure of the offense, they don't need to huddle every play with Bush Hampton's background and what he's done in the past. So I think that's number one for the offense. And then, like, for me, Nick, the one thing I always compare it to when we get into this point of the season, the offseason, with the offense is it should look great right now. We shouldn't hear anything bad. If you're hearing even the slightest negative thing, something's off. So, like, I mean, the easiest one to compare it to is just Rich Gangarello. And back then, Nick, it was every time you went to practice, it was, you know, this is a pro offense. It's complicated. Yada, yada, yada. You know, you're not really hearing that, I don't think, and so far. And so to this point, I think they're right where they need to be on offense. And to me, the big thing for spring, and you mentioned the helmet communication. Obviously, that's going to help a ton. I mean, it's just right. Going to make everything easier. And I bet, you know, for a guy like Liam Cohen, it's probably unfortunate. They probably really could have used that last year. Where I don't know if they'll need it. They'll still need it this year, but maybe not need it as much. To me, this time of year is all about the individuals you hear about. Like, when I hear a freshman running back is already running with the ones as soon as the pads come on, like, that gets me excited. Yeah. It's little stuff like that, that's what you want to see coming out of this. And you get a guy like Jason Patterson, who's got a a story kind of high school career, and that he's already pushing, you know, that's a good time. Like, that guy's probably going to be a player for next year.
That, and it's one of those things, too, like, it where you just want what you saw in the high school to translate over, right? Like, you're just, I think this guy's going to be good, but, like, you don't really know until you know. And the same could be said about Hardly Gilmore, where it's a little bit different case where he's not pressing and they don't desperately need him to play right away. But when you got guys like Barrion Brown calling him a freak of nature because of his athleticism, right? Because of his explosiveness, his speed. Those are great, great early signs. Ones that I think should get you excited. And it's also fun too when you hear the whispers from people who are at practice and then the coaches actually say, this is happening. You're like, oh, okay. So, like, I'm not just hearing things, right? I'm not the crazy one here. Like, this is undeniable, but these guys are playing well. The same could be said about Dane Key. Like, apparently that dude's he's been a badass. I don't really know another way to put it, but he's been a badass this spring. And to your point, like that's just, it's just music to our ears. You're on the right track. You're moving in the right direction. A third of your way through spring practice.
Yeah, I think if we were going to sit down and write spring hot takes, I think one of my first ones would be that this freshman class, the 2024 class, like, they might have hit a home run here. Patterson's pushing for time. Gilmore is there. We all know the ceiling for Cutter Bowley. Brian Robinson, Gerard Smith, they both looked the part early on. I think they feel really good about that class, at least to this point. I mean, there are guys already that I think are going to play. Where you compare it to last year's class, Nick, I think it's too early to tell where that group is going to end up. But that class didn't make much of a splash last year, right, on the field. But the years before, that class made a huge splash, right? You know, Barrion Brown, Dane Key, Josh Caddis. I'd go on down the list. Deion Walker, obviously. So early returns for, I think, the 2024 class, I think, are very promising. Again, I go back to Jason Patterson. That running back's a position you know pretty early. Can this dude tote the rock? Can this dude break tackles? And can this dude does he have feel for what we want to do? It looks like Patterson does that. I'm hoping we get an open practice here so we can go see him. And then definitely at the spring game, I think he's going to be one of the guys people probably pay the closest attention to.
Yeah, and just because he's wearing 26 doesn't mean we think he's going to be Benjamin Snell Jr. But even if he's just the rotational guy, like, they need that, right? Like, that was you got Chip for a year to buoy you, and we talked about it on signing day. Like, you needed one of those three guys to hit between Patterson, Mizell, and Jamarian Wilcox. So, yes, that makes me happy. One thing that did not make me happy, and maybe this is me just being a weirdo, which Anwar Stewart called him a weirdo, but, like, it was kind of in a fun, jocular way. So, yeah, he's just friends with everybody. He goes and hangs out with the equipment managers and everybody. But Anwar Stewart wants Deion Walker to be 325. What? No. Not, like, I wanted Deion to be in shape and play all the snaps, but look it. Can't be. We can't. Not. No. 325. That's too. No. He can't be that small. I'm only halfway joking here. But that it sounds like they're just like, this guy's got a crazy high motor. Let's make it to where we can just play him every single snap, and there's no issue. He'll be our Max Crosby. Just every single damn snap, it doesn't matter. Put him in every single time and just wreck stuff.
Well, Nick, we got some breaking news. Adu Thiero has entered the portal, so that's the first big domino over there on the basketball side.
Yeah.
But to Deion, to your point, I believe you mentioned this on the show. You've talked to your cousin over there, and he's even, like, been impressed that he can play that many snaps as a defensive lineman.
Right.
So, like, that alone, number one, they don't want to take that guy off field. To me, the bigger, you know, Amar wants him at a certain weight. No, that's fine. But to me, it's less about the weight. It's more, he mentioned the cardio, his endurance. That's what you need. You want, because they don't want him to leave the field. And when they want him at a certain standard that he's playing at, whether if you don't want to dip under a certain percentage, like, you know, everyone's seen that, like, if it, in a video game, if he had a bar that showed, like, the juice he has left, right? They want that juice to stay above a certain amount. And so I think that's really what it's about with Deion Walker. Nick, I get the sense, I haven't seen him in the Eclipse. I don't know if he's doing much this spring.
I don't think he's doing anything. I think his ass is he's probably doing the agility drills, right? Like, during the individuals, the hand placement stuff. But when they get in the trenches, he don't need to be doing anything. And it's part because you got guys who need those reps. They talked about Keyshawn Silver today, and I love that Anwar brought up his weight, but he was like, we can't get him down. He's just big. Like, it's just, he just is who he is. Yeah. I get this. We're not going to have to worry about the defensive line too much. And I love that Brad White, he loves to be in the Mark Stoops. He made the mistake early in his career where he said, we're not going to have to worry about the pass rush. And then the pass rush sucked. It might've been 19. I think that was the case, the year after Josh Allen. So he's one who doesn't like to dole out compliments right away, but he mentioned a guy that Berrion talked about as being a guy who's tough to go up against, and that's Jansen Dunn. And I had low expectations. I did for him. Just like it, you hope that one of those guys would hit. So that I was pleased that like he came out right away and said, "Yeah, this is a guy who seems to be taking his medicine and learned a lot from those reps that he received late in the season."
Yeah, I think you go back to Dunn. I think you just – this is why, like, player profile, like recruiting profile, it's important to always remember these. This guy was the top 200 player coming out of high school. And a bunch of – everybody wanted him. He lands at Ohio State. And he's kind of been through the ringer early in his career, changed positions, right? Like, he's never really had home at Ohio State or Kentucky. Now, Kentucky comes in. They try him at corner. They move him to nickel. They play him early a year. He kind of gets lost in the shuffle. But then he emerges late, and he had some good moments against Louisville and Clemson, but he also had some bad moments. He was the player that was playing nickel on that when they hit that got to the sidelines on like 3rd and 18 on that last drive, Nick. If he gets depth there, if Klubnik throws that, it's probably a pick.
Right.
So
right.
Like, so he was all that was you know, he had some bad moments too, but we know what kind of athlete and profile he has, and so this year it sounds like he's really taking a step forward. And if he's always been a player, if that guy puts it together, he's going to be a good player, and he's starting to put it together. And it's at a big position of need here. They don't really have, I wouldn't say they have a plan, but there's not a clear answer there at that nickel spot.
Correct. Correct.
Right. We've seen them play safeties there. Do they want to do that? We've seen them play slot cornerback inside. Do they want to do that? That's something they're going to have to figure out. But at least to me, Dunn's giving them a real option there. And to me, I'd be interested to see the top option at corner right now, outside corner, as opposed to Maxwell Hairston. Or where does that sit? Or is he their top nickel guy? And then they got the safeties. They went out and got Christian Story. So now they've got proven safeties that can play. So how do they balance and kind of mix and match, right? And that's what you want to find out. But I think it's a good sign with Dunn. You know, not every transfer hits right away, right?
Yeah,
Sometimes it takes a little bit of time. Maybe this is just one of those instances where he got a year under his belt within the system, and now he's ready to go seize a position or play a big role on this defense. And I think that, to me, that was a good sign, because that's clearly a position of worry or concern, I think, for Kentucky entering this season.
One thing I'm not worried about is Pop. Jamin Dubas Johnson is looking the part, playing early on. They list him at 260, Luckett. Is that right? Like, is he just that dense? Like,
I should have asked him that today. I don't think that's right. I would think around 240-ish, but there's not linebacker. They used to all be like about that big.
Right.
But now, like, you go to the combine, everyone's 240 to 245, where they used to be 260, 265. So I don't think that's right, but I hope it is. Just like, let's just have a big ass run stuffer there in the middle, him and De'Eric Jackson. But you joke about that, but I really like that linebacker tandem, man. Playing behind this defense line, like, I think Kentucky's run defense, again, if you were going to make hot takes for the season, I'm willing to go out on a limb that this is going to be the best run defense we've seen in the Mark Stoops era. I think all the pieces are there for that. I'm a little concerned with the pass defense, obviously. We need to see some progression there, but if teams want to play this group in the box, I think Kentucky's going to be able to get team a lot of second and third and longs.
Yeah, which they had trouble getting off the field on those last year. But that is to address for a later day. I did want to bring up what Phil Johnson said earlier, because it made me laugh. He said, UK football needs a blue light show. And I thought he said they need a Bud Light show. And I was like, dude, you are preaching the choir, man. Give us the Bud Light show. I want to see the Bud Light show. Don't worry, Phil. That is going to come this fall with upgrades to Kroger Field. And I just wanted to mention, too, Luckett, because Pro Day was my first time getting to step inside the renovated Nutter Fieldhouse. And it rocks. It's so nice. Not just the look, the lighting, all the signs and everything on there. But even just having all that additional space, it feels like you got so much room to operate. You know, like when they do their individual drills, the linemen can go hit the sleds and do their individual stuff without having to mess with what they're going on and route running on the other side of the field, right? Like, there's just room to operate. And the other thing, too, is that turf. I mean, that used to be a health liability. Now it's the same thing they play on Saturdays at Kroger Field. So, like, there's no difference.
I don't think they've been outside yet.
No, they have not. Stoops.
Five for five inside in the indoor.
Stoops, Miami made him soft. Tallahassee, he lost some of that Youngstown edge with the cold weather. He likes to stay inside now when he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I think the biggest deal with the indoor. I mean, spring almost like, it, especially in a climate like Kentucky, like this is really where it's important.
Yeah.
They can get in there and they can have normal spring practice, but they can do it inside. So no matter what the weather is outside, correct, they don't have to worry about that. Don't have to balance, well, we need to practice morning, afternoon. No matter what, they can go inside and practice there in the spring when you're not really worried about, like, the elements. During the season, you want to get out there in case, we're going to have to play in the heat.
Right, right.
You know, it's raining today. We need to get some wet ball work. Yeah. If it's cold, we're going to play in 38-degree weather, so we need to be out of practice in anyway. Where when you get into the spring, I don't think you're worried about
no.
And you just want to stay on schedule and have your normal routine,
correct,
fundamental practice. And you can do that specifically in this facility because it's so much bigger, Nick. Like you mentioned, they have room to operate more efficiently in there, and they're not running into each other. And they're not playing on 1987 carpet in there. Like, had you were at the Wandell Robinson Pro Day. I mean, the whole building got deadly silent when his toe got caught in the turf there.
Yeah, yeah, that was something else. Me as a coach, I'm getting my kids used to Element. I'm helping coach my son's 3-5-year-old T-ball team, and on Tuesday night we got a little bit of rain. So that was, first off, kids in the rain. They love it. But there was a moment where you look around and you're like, oh, this might be getting too bad. And then as soon as I had that thought, it stopped. So we're doing some wet ball training. We're ready to roll when it comes to T-ball. Now we just have to work on not fighting over the ball. There's big problems. We got team chemistry issues. A lot of kids, everybody wants to pick up the ball and throw it to first. They also do this thing like it where they pick up the ball and then they run like halfway to first before they throw it. It's like, just throw it. Just cock it back and throw it. Like, you can do it. Just do it. Let it rip. The Pirates, we start our first games are after spring break. So who knows how that'll go. There's 10 kids on the team, and I don't think we've had more than 6 show up at one night. So who knows? Who knows what it's going to be like? But it's a fun adventure in parenthood. You'll be there for too long. Right now, I'm sure it's just a lot of spit up, a lot of crying. We getting any sleep at all right now, or is it just grind mode? You're probably still in, like, just survive in advance.
Yeah, Hank hasn't been too bad to this point. First night back from the hospital was brutal, up every hour. But since then, he'll sleep for 3 hours at a time. So we each get decent amount of sleep in chunks. So he hasn't been too bad from that aspect. So Baker was a good sleeper too, so we've caught two
nice,
good breaks at least with that. The problem is, has been the 1.5-year-old, Baker, just raising absolute hell in the house while we're trying to take care of an infant. You know, I'm trying to work. Taylor's trying to watch Henry. Baker's just pulling on the dog's tail.
Yeah.
Opening the patio door, unlocking the front door. Just real reckless stuff from my toddler right now.
You know, he doesn't get 100% of the attention now, so he's got to find it somewhere else. So don't worry, they'll be playing with each other, keeping each other busy before too long. Love too that he's just Hank. Like, that's a great name. We got a Hank and a Frank. I did have a friend too who he also had a Henry about a month or so ago, and Henry was undefeated. The cats were undefeated, and then, like, I don't know what Henry did, but like crashed and burned there at the end. But we don't have to talk about the crashing and burning. I do want to tell you all though about
FanDuel. I think it was mine was born, and then that's when the fall started.
It jinxed it. It took away his special powers. If you're on a heater or you want to ride a heater, then you got to hop on over to FanDuel, because FanDuel is America's number one sports betting app. It's the best. They've got all your props, parlays, whatever it may be. If you're a new customer right now, you get $200 in bonus bets with any $5 bet. $200 if your ticket cashes when you sign up and use promo code PERSONNEL, or type one in the address FanDuel.com/PERSONNEL to sign up, and your first winning ticket will get you $200 in bonus bets to play with throughout March Madness. They've also got college baseball in there. The Batcats are hot. We've got the Masters coming right around the corner. Kentucky Derby, right? Like they've got a, you can bet the ponies with FanDuel too. That's why FanDuel is the best. So get on over to FanDuel right now. Sign up today. Put in the promo code personnel. First winning ticket, $5 or more, get you 200 bonus bets. Must be 21 plus and present in Kentucky. First online real money wager only. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. One thing that I like about FanDuel too is their futures. Their future wagers are the best in the biz. And I'm a big fan of betting the Final Four teams this week. And I love the juice we're getting on Illinois and Creighton. Getting some great juice there for some upsets. It was chalky first round. Let's get some upsets here in the second weekend of the tournament.
You're betting against Rick Barnes? Can't believe it.
Yeah. Rick Barnes in March. What could go wrong?
And, Nick, we got Masters coming up. We will be giving out picks this year. So get ready for that and some other golf shenanigans. Hey, we've got PGA Championship coming to our beautiful state, too, next month. Or 2 months. Well, I guess two months from now, but really kind of feels like next month. So, yeah, I mean, like, get locked in. They got everything. You want to dab on some baseball? You can do that. You got some futures. You can bet division winners. You can bet.
It's opening day.
Over, you see, win totals. Yeah. And then you can do some, you can actually do some real creative stuff with baseball betting, right? You can build parlays and you can bet on the run line. You can bet money lines. And so if you're trying to find, if you're trying to scratch that itch just a little bit, there's plenty to do on there. And we'll definitely have some golf winners here throughout the summer.
Are the Reds going to be good? I feel like they're not.
They have a chance. They've really got a chance to probably get to 90 wins, I think. But the pitching has to stay healthy. It did not stay healthy last year. They won despite it. But bad injury luck out the gate here.
Yeah, that's my worry. Yeah, like the
I'm not really worried about. Well, the Marte one really hurt because he was supposed to be their next, like, stud. And he's out 80 games. But the McLain one's a big one. Like, TJ Friedel, they'll be fine, and he'll be back in May. But McLain, I haven't really seen a report. Like, the quote they gave was, we're hopeful he'll return this season. Well, that doesn't sound very promising to me. And so that would be a big loss if they didn't have him. Now, they have good depth there, but you can make the argument that he's their best player. So not having him in the lineup and on defense and having his defensive versatility, being able to play short and second, that would hurt if you didn't have him for pretty much all season. But they've got the potential star power. I mean, if Ellie puts it together, it's a stud. And then Thier can be an all-star. I think Encarnacion Strand can be really, really good if he puts it together. But the injuries are concerning. The division is wide open. I think the Brewers should probably take a step back, but the Cubs and Cardinals should both be in the mix. So it comes down to which one of those teams can probably get to 88 wins. And I think the Reds got a good chance, but I don't love the vibe starting the year off the way they're starting.
Not great vibes up in Cincinnati. But that's enough baseball talk. This is a football show. So let's get back to a football question. We got in the YouTube chat. We appreciate y'all subscribing. Now up to 30,000 subscribers. Appreciate y'all following along. We'll have plenty more content coming throughout spring ball. Ernest asks Gilmore Patterson, who will get the most run on offense? And newcomers on defense, who will get the most run from this incoming group? I can't anticipate, barring injury, that Gilmore would play a role any larger than what Anthony Brown Stevens played last year, which is a couple games, he's part of the game plan, and they get it to him. But right now, I think it's more of, this is the time for those guys, and Jamori Macklin is apparently not practicing yet. We're not really sure why, but it sounds injury-related. So he's getting a lot of run now, but there's just a lot of older guys ahead of him that I think will. So offensively, you'd have to lean Patterson, I think, out of them all. And I don't know how many others are even in consideration on the offensive side of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and this is a lot of this personnel position-based here, correct, Nick. It's a lot easier for a running back to come in and play a big role as a freshman. It's like you see that less as receiver at the receiver position.
We're just
true freshmen coming in and have a big role.
Yeah, Berrion and Dane are just crazy exceptions, and we just got that, you know?
Yeah, and you make the argument that they maybe needed a year of development before being thrusted into that position like they were in year one. But Patterson, like you look at Kentucky's running back room, and there's potential there for him to have a big role in the offense. And so he would be my answer to that. I think you switch over to the other side of the ball, defense. I think Brian Robinson and Gerard Smith are both going to play. So that would be one there. And then after that, I always thought maybe a linebacker, off-ball linebacker, could maybe have a rotation role. But, Nick, we got some good news, I think, at least from my perspective. Grant Godfrey's now an inside linebacker. And that makes me feel a lot better about that position, not necessarily this year, but moving forward. I think he's a guy with a ton of potential. And I think he's going to be a guy that become their fourth linebacker behind Pop Tumas Johnson, Derek Jackson, Davin Rainer. And then he's going to be a guy they look to build around, I think, in 2024. And so I like that news, especially with how young they're getting at the position after signing like 18 freshman linebackers in this last class. And so I like that. So defensively, I haven't heard anything about Tyrion Nichols. I thought you would hear something about him. He was the guy in the secondary I thought can maybe find a role.
Yeah, I liked seeing Nasir Addison make a play. And even though he's not a redshirt because of what he did on special teams last year, we saw him pick off a pass. And Brad White did the, like, I'm going to be a not a hard ass about it, but he was very clear that like Nasir's doing the freshman stuff. He's really good, but he's got to work on finishing. But I did want to point out too, even though we've all kind of assumed that Brian Robinson, just based on his work ethic, is going to play, I appreciate too the little bit of humble pie from Anwar, where it's like, we got to start his technique and everything from scratch. You know, everything is going to start from the bottom up. Because he's a big physical guy, but like you can't just win with a speed rush or a bull rush. You got to be able to do more. So that's one of those. It's not like I want to necessarily throw cold water on it, but he is going to have some work to do. There's no denying that. Which, speaking of the edge, we got one chatter who asked if Fearbury is our only true bender on the edge. Maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, like, and that's why he's.
Let's pull up the roster spreadsheet here. Just run through the names. J.J. Weaver, power player, run first.
Yep.
Noah Matthews, probably more the same as Weaver. And then you're looking at Jacob Smith, Caleb Brett. And I would say Fearbury's the only true kind of bendy rusher they have in that room. Jacob Smith, to me, is more of kind of Nick, that Jordan Wright role, off ball Sam linebacker. Where Fearbury, he's a very, very important player. Yes. If you're ranking most important individuals on this football team, he's up there because they need his ability to bend the edge and be an edge, a true edge pass rusher. They need it bad. And we saw it in the Clemson game. If you just turn on the tape, he just looked different than guys they've had there for the last few years. Like his get off, his bend. It just looks different with him. And so if he can put that together, now they listed him at 245 pounds, and if you looked at him last year, he was very thin. He looked like 225, 230. So if he's truly added 15 pounds, that's a very, very good sign. So, yeah, to answer the question, he is. But I'd still expect him to have a big year. And Brad White's already talked about his maturation both physically and mentally taking coaching better this spring. And so I think that's a good sign regarding Fearbury. He's going to be a very, very integral piece of the defense this season.
One thing we didn't get to either that is significant was the offensive line. Because like it, I was waiting for that moment to happen, and I really didn't know if it was going to happen. Are we going to talk to Wolf? Like, how's this whole thing going to go?
Let's stop you right quick. How surprised were you when he walked out there?
I was shocked. And You know, I was chatting with John Hale from Herald Leader beforehand, and he's like, yeah, you know, I requested Wolford. We'll see if we'll get him or not. And Wolf just comes sauntering up. And the thing, too, about him is when you interview him in the middle of the season, he can be kind of surly and short with his responses. So I was like, what are we even going to get here, right? Like, what's Wolf going to say? And he, dude, it was I've had plenty of talking experiences in this business, like both good and bad. Tuesday was just, I mean, for so many reasons. We had Bush Hamden took the bait on a question about newcomers playing well. And I'm like, wait, you're giving me freshmen that are playing well? What? I was like, hell yeah, that's awesome. And then Wolf comes out, and not only does he come out and talk, he gives us like 8 minutes where he's like trying to be cordial. He's thinking, and he's talking about how much he loves Lexington. I'm like, what is going on here? And then he starts like getting into things, and he's giving you good answers, but so much so that he almost starts yelling at us about, we got to be physical. We got to go out there. You can't, these kids these days, you got to show them, because they're not just going to get, you can't tell them. You got to show them. And I thought he was going to just bite my ass right there. I mean, he is.
That he is going to do grass drills right there in the facility.
Oh, man. Like, say what you want about the guy. Like, his intensity, if that doesn't translate to physicality, which is what Stoops wants, they don't know if anything ever will. Now, I don't know if I'm buying completely. Like, part of the grievances we filed in 2021 was that he didn't play anybody else, and he's telling us they've got more depth now than they ever had in 21. I don't know if I'm buying that, but Bush Hamden talked about Jalen Farmer, and that's
– yeah.
I guess they had a quad nerd piece with Dylan Ray last year. But like that, the third guard is like such a unheralded integral position to an offensive line. And it seems like they really like what they got out of him. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, I think Wolford, like, he obviously heard the criticism about what fans and people had about him. Like, right, left for Alabama, left him in a bad spot, no depth, didn't rotate. And to me, he just played all the hits there, right? He addressed, like, you know, Big Blue Wall. He addressed, you know, play what Mark Stoops wants a rotation, happy to be here, all that stuff. The big thing I think that stood out was, again, Austin Ramsey's name getting in the mix. That's interesting. Can he do anything as a redshirt freshman? And the physical talk. I mean, we've heard Mark Stoops talk about it. We've heard Bush Hamden talk about it. We even heard Liam Cohen talk about it before he left. And now we've heard Eric Wolford talk about it. There is probably some positions that are not, that you maybe want to protect from a physical standpoint. Nick, part of me thinks that that O-line is just absolutely beating the crap out of each other right now over there in practice. Like, they have pretty much set the expectation that they're going to be able to run the ball. And Wolford even mentioned like schematic part of it, like not necessarily like the outside runs, right? The stretch zone or getting outside. It's more downhill. Can put the face on somebody, can't move. And I think that's a huge part of this line. I think there was a lot of frustration that they couldn't run the ball in the AMB gaps last year, and that they were in that was, I think, they believe was a root of many of their offensive problems was because of that. And so that they're trying to figure that out right now. And I think guard, center guard plays a big deal in all that. So they're trying to find the answers there. They know Eli Cox is going to be an answer at one of those three spots, but they don't know where the two guard spots is really up for grabs. And so I think that's something they're trying to figure out right now. And it's going to be, like, again, if we get open practice or in the spring, I'm very interested, like, who's running with the ones there on the offensive line. I know who the two tackles are going to be. You know, Mincy and Marcus Cox are going to be the two tackles, and I know who the center is going to be in spring, at least till Cortland Ford gets back. But we don't really know what's going to happen at guard, and that's going to be something to monitor, I think, when we get some more intel from the spring.
It's clear, I think it is, that you're probably starting Dylan Ray at left guard and Jagger at right, and then it's a
– yeah.
Well, does Farmer take one of their spots? And I don't know. Yeah. I do get the
sense that he threw out Dylan Ray at tackle, and I wonder if they'd rather just have him at tackle. Because they've mentioned that multiple times. The only reason he was playing guard was
that a necessity?
Or I wouldn't say yeah. only, but might have been because Ben Chrisman was supposed to be their backup. And then that happened, and then they had injuries, suspensions, or whatever throughout the season at guard. So he just ended up playing a boatload of snaps there.
Yeah, so that part's fascinating. I mean, you mentioned it too. No Ford this spring. Wolf let it say that he had wrist surgery, so it is going to be the Mincy and Marcus Cox show at offensive tackle. They're going to be asked to protect Brock Vandergriff, and yes, we made it 40 minutes, Luckett, into a spring practice show without talking about the quarterback. What? Look at us. And I think that's exactly the way Mark Stoops wants it. I think that's exactly the way Butch Hamden wants it. Where I haven't heard one bad thing about Brock, but I also think a lot of that is we're not going to we don't want to put everything on this kid to be savior. We don't want to make the same mistake we did last year. So I think that's part of where they're at with him. But I've got no reasons to have people worried about Brock Vandergriff right now. Do you?
Yeah, I think I was even talking to my father-in-law about that. That was his first question. It's just how's the quarterback doing? And I said, well, I don't really know. I mean, haven't heard anything bad, so that's really what you want to hear. I think the reason we haven't talked about him, Nick, is because there's nothing really to talk about. He's a starting quarterback that's not in doubt, and he's got to go prove it. He's got all the, you know, he's got a skill set that is intriguing. I mean, we've touched on this when he committed, but he's got to go out and prove it. He's got to go out and do it. And until we see him do it, there's really not going to be much to say, I don't think. Now, getting to see him in live action, whether it be the spring game or open practice, then we'll have some more there. But for now, it's just, you know, it's a big TBD, I think. And there's not really much to talk about. The only thing we really know is that he's their starter. And that's just where it is at this point to me.
Here's the thing, too. It's going to be TBD for a lot of people until that August 31st. I mean, after the
South Carolina game, really. Yeah. To me, it's like week two. That's when we see.
Right. Because I think the former five-star is probably looking pretty good, but it's a lot of difference, Eddie Green would say, when the bullets are fought. To redirect to recruiting, like it. We're not going to have this conversation in June about Kentucky starting behind, because they're not.
I know. Looking forward to that. That makes the experience better. Where you and me are not Jon Snow pulling out the sword on the KS board. Telling they're going to be like they're fine. But yeah, I do like the start here. I think they got off to a good start. Pound in Ohio early, right? Quentin Simmons, Brennan Ward. Tucker Caddis. You're getting into Cincinnati with Simmons and Caddis. And then you're getting into Columbus, Greater Columbus with Ward. And then you're two in Pennsylvania. You got into Philadelphia, and then you got Stone Saunders there at Harrisburg, Bishop McDevitt. So I like where they're at, and they've got some players or prospects or targets, whatever verbiage you want to use. They've got some guys I think are close to committing. So I think they're in a good spot. Nick, are you getting nervous about Martellus Carter at this point? Or do you still feel pretty confident where they stand?
Not yet. And I think it's because I always – there was like a lot of buzz that it was happening, and it always just felt a little premature in my eyes just because it felt like a guy of that pedigree who had – I mean, like his uncle was pretty big at 24/7, you know, like there's a lot of family that's in the business. I didn't anticipate him just saying, no, I'm not going to go through the process. So I'm not sweating it out too much. I'm glad we got there's no drama with Caddis. We got him on board. I think him and Simmons are both a little underranked. I don't really understand. Caddis was a top 10 tackle, and then they decided he's going to be a guard, and now he's not a top 10 player in Ohio. Like he's like 26 or something. I don't really get that. One thing that I'm going to be intrigued to follow, Lucky, because you mentioned the Pennsylvania guys, I think Kentucky's next secondary market is going to be the Mid-Atlantic. And a lot of it is going to be
that way.
a lot of it's going to be competition based and also coaching based. Like, you already had Brad doing some work up there. He's been there enough now that that logo's familiar. And you had Liam doing some stuff with Woodward. Now you bring in Dykeel Shorts, who has a lot of experience in that area. And really, like, who are you recruiting against up there? Penn State. Maybe Michigan. But, like, that's it. So I think from a competition standpoint, they see these guys who are like, oh, we don't have to get in bidding wars with Georgia or Texas. Or, you know what I mean? Like, they're just so I think that's something I'm going to keep an eye on. You know, they've already got a couple up there. And I think that number could grow. So something to keep an eye on, especially if they add to their nil coffers like it. And they did something today to crank that up a notch or two.
Yeah, with Martellus Carter, just to trace back a little bit here, he keeps visiting. So as long as he keeps visiting, I think they're in a good spot. Caddis, I think the ranking is make you wonder, but to me, he's a very high floor prospect. You know what you're going to get. I think guard is the right position for him. Just the Mid-Atlantic, Nick, I think recruits ranked like 200 to 500. That could be a potential honey hole for Kentucky because of the competition aspect. If kid is in that ranking and he is in Alpharetta, Georgia, you know, you're going up against Sharks in SEC country, and then Florida State sniffing around, Clemson sniffing around, and it's just tougher. Where you, if you're in if you're in Pittsburgh or you're in Philadelphia and you're ranked there, Penn State's always the factor that you have to consider recruiting up against. But after that, you know, you do not fear Maryland if you're Kentucky. You do not fear Rutgers. If you're Kentucky, Michigan sits around in New Jersey, so that's one you're going to butt heads with. But it's an area I think they can pull players, more highly ranked players out of there. And Isaiah West fits kind of in that range. Stone Saunders fits kind of in that range. Tyrese Fearbury was in that range. And so I think and then you add in Dykeel Shorts, New Jersey.
Yeah.
That adds up to me. And Syracuse is another one with Fran Bradnow that's going to be more of a factor in that area.
Right.
But I get the why Kentucky likes, I think, swimming in those waters. And that's definitely – I don't think that's going away. Cameron Miller is another one. He's from New Jersey.
Yeah, he's a big
Kentucky could land him. I mean, they're fighting Michigan and Wisconsin for him. Those are the type of team. You're fighting – it's more Big Ten battles where as if you're in Tampa or if you're in Georgia – or even in Nashville, those are SEC battles, and those are tougher to win. But Big Ten, I think those might be a little, you could argue, a little easier to win. And so I think that's where Kentucky's at. And even Nebraska in the past, they've been in the Mid-Atlantic area. So that's a team Kentucky's had success recruiting head-to-head against. And so, yeah, I don't think that's a bad idea about recruiting operation there in Lexington.
So I will say, too, kind of nice that they got Caddis to go ahead and pop. It's good to have things are going so well. It's good to have some good football news to kind of cheer everybody up. Good to have another ass kicker on board. If you watched any of his highlight reel, like the first play, he's just driving to do 20 yards down the field, and you're like, that's a cat right there. Like that. So that's a heavy handed ass block. He ain't messing around.
Yeah, and I can even tell you from seeing him in a camp last summer that he mixes it up a little bit. And so I think he fits the mold of what Kentucky has succeeded here at Kentucky.
Specifically
the offensive guard. So, I think he's a high-floor prospect. I think you could easily project him to being a starter here.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I did mention about just Kentucky nil efforts. We have the new 500 club, like it. 500 club. Reminds me of the 15 or the five-timers club on SNL. That they have whenever you've hosted five times. I enjoy that bit quite a bit. And I think the folks who are willing to donate to Kentucky's nil efforts, they're going to enjoy it too. Get a private VIP concert with John Legend. I just like that this is very SEC football behavior. You know, like it's hard to.
Yeah.
I get that there's a lot of. It's really hard to wade through the nil news and this collective and who's enjoying. I get that it's difficult, but like I do just love that it's like, we want to raise some money. We're going to have this concert with John Legend. So let's go get our football players. Let's get paid.
Yeah. I think they missed a good branding opportunity. They could just call this the Craft House. Like, who are we kidding here? You know, like that could have been a nice little brand, a nice little name. But I think it's more evidence, Nick, that they're operating like a legitimate SEC program, and that the funds and the commitment is in place for them to continue getting players, and that's the number one priority, and it gets even more important with Texas and Oklahoma and all divisions. You know, trying to keep up the Joneses, right? And the talent keep up. And I think it's a good sign for future roster building, you know, with NIL, Nick. All of this stuff is so fluid. So much is changing, you know. But it's a good, I think, starting place or foundation for where we're at right now in the modern college football space. So definitely a good step. And it's going to be a May 10th. Adam Lloyd will be in Lexington. Neymar Gotze has a concert or a comedy show at Rupp Arena. So that'll be going on at the same time. So who knows? I might end up rubbing shoulders with some important people.
Are you going to
make if they're going to let us in? If they want to let us in and let us, you know, interview John Legend, 11 personnel special, get old John Legend on here, then we can talk some ball.
Oh, you're not going to make the 3-year, $15,000 annual commitment? Not the cards?
It would take 3 years to build up that money. If it's paying in 3 years, then maybe. But I'm not ready to write those big tuition checks just yet.
Yeah, we got to write big tuition checks for these kids we're raising. So, I don't know. You're going to be getting Bullitt County Public Schools, though, bastard. So you don't have to worry about it too much. I did like somebody in the chat. It was Russ made a good point that Bear Bryant got a lot of good players from the Mid-Atlantic. Blanda, I believe.
Frank Kersey, too.
Yeah. Art Still is their jersey. Camden.
Yeah. Freddie tell you they used to even Jerry Claiborne was Pennsylvania was a big pipeline state for Kentucky.
That's
back
where
then.
He flew up in a plane with Jerry Bell. So Pennsylvania, and thought they were gonna die on the flight up there.
Right, I'm pretty sure Andy Hollerim was from Pennsylvania, Nick, and he's got 8 trillion tackles or something ridiculous. They got a lot of good players up there back in the day.
I mean, imagine Jeff Snyder or Cash Daniel being your doctor, right? Like that's Randy Hollerim. He's got I mean, you're saying 800, and you're not far off. It's like 750 tackles. he's like a brain surgeon. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Looking forward, 2 weeks to the spring game, 2 Saturdays till the spring game, 1:00. It's going to be free admission. Hopefully good weather at the Krogue. They haven't had that in a while. It'll be SEC Network Plus if you can't make it out there. And then 1 month from today's NFL draft.
Beer at the first ever spring game this year.
Ooh. Yeah.
We don't. That, Saturday. Like,
can we get in the press box?
I like the Friday night spring games. I wish that was still what they were doing. That was, I thought, the best. Saturday at 1, a little harder, but yeah, maybe. I don't think that's going to happen. This isn't Louisville, Pete's sake, Nick.
Oh, which if you want to make fun of them now, like that coaching search, that was hilarious. It really, and if you're not in the city of Louisville, the fact that, I mean, there's 3 radio stations, 3 Louisville shows all happening in the afternoon. And
yeah,
like the fact that they all had their own sources and they all had like 3 different names pop up every other day. It was one of the most entertaining weeks of content I can ever remember. It was manic and crazy and a little bit exhausting, but like they were the Twitter Spaces people. If you were invested in Twitter Spaces, you made some bucks this week on UofL radio.
No kidding. Yeah, I think the leaks are what made it tough. Everything was, it felt like it was getting out during that search.
Yeah, it was.
And so it was so herky jerky for following it. You're here, you're there, you're here, you're there. This guy, that guy, this guy, that guy. So yeah, and it definitely looked unorganized for a good chunk of it. So that was entertaining. I was making the joke online. I mean, it really was, honestly, Nick, it was about the closest thing I've seen to that Tennessee search. It didn't get to that level because that one, they had to fire the AD and they brought back the old coach. That would have been like if they would have fired Hurd and they would have brought, you know, one of Patino's old assistants. Then they would have made him the D, and he would have went hired. I mean, that's kind of what it felt like.
Mark Lieberman becomes the AD.
Yeah, the TBT coach becomes the athletic director. So that was just, I mean, from that aspect alone, it was just like bizarre. Everything. A lot of it to me was just everything got out. Like nothing was. Yeah. Usually there's a hidden candidate, and there was none of that in this search. That we knew, like you knew everything almost in real time. Like, the fact that Schertz is, like, did he sign the memorandum of understanding with St. Louis? I cannot believe that got out. And, like, that was just, people were just talking about that plain as day. Like, how did that get out? That was the craziest part to me to the search.
I think it got out so to save face because, and also, why did he sign one? What was he having to gain by signing one of those?
To me, I wonder if my first question was, did he have an agent?
Probably not.
Like, did it? If he didn't have an agent, he probably just didn't know what he was doing. That was my first impression. He probably didn't have an agent because why would you sign it? Especially when, you know, jobs can open later after the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like you said, every Tennessee, but I mean, the Tennessee job, you had like 12 people turn the job down publicly. And it didn't get to here. It got to like the eighth or ninth guy.
Now it was getting close.
Yeah. They had to settle for Chris Macdino Gaudio guy. So it may end up being a good hire for them in the long run. Like, he may produce results, but that coaching search, that was ridiculous. Yeah. That provided some much needed giggles when we needed it as Kentucky fans.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy week. Oh. And just in general, I mean, this has been a wild week. A bunch of people have taken the dive with us at KSR Plus. That's been fun on the board. Basketball. There's basketball stuff crazy, but we're still doing football. Football stuff content coming. So come.
We'll have some behind the scenes stuff. We'll
good to have the podcast too.
Spring practice. I'm admittedly going. I'm going on spring break next week, but I think we're still going to have 11 personnel like it, if I'm not mistaken. I think we'll figure something out. We'll figure it out, but we're back.
You can squeeze time away.
You might get a little sunburnt, sauced up 11 personnel.
It's 11 personnel after dark. There we go.
We did that. We've done that before. Yeah, yeah. But nevertheless, should be a good time. It's good to have you back, Luckett. Hope the family's all well. It's good to be back with all of you on the KSR YouTube channel. Appreciate y'all subscribing and following along. For Adam Luckett, I'm Nick Roush. Go Cats and go Kroger.